Our scripture comes from Exodus chapter 3. Meanwhile, Moses was shepherding the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire within a bush. As Moses looked, he saw that the bush was on fire but was not consumed. So Moses thought, "I must go over and look at this remarkable sight. Why isn't the bush burning up?" When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called out to him from the bush, "Moses, Moses." "Here I am," he answered. "Do not come closer," he said. "Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you're standing is holy ground."
Was God. He usually doesn't speak quite that way, I don't think. I don't know that I've really heard God speak to me that way. But there are different kinds of calls. I don't know too many who have heard an audible voice, but there are some who claim at least that they've heard an audible voice, and you know what we think of them. do we think that they're little, you know? But generally speaking, God doesn't speak in an audible voice. Nor, I think, should we expect him to speak in an audible voice. I know I've had a few of you say that you've actually heard God speak in an audible voice. But I think in most of our experiences, we just hear him speak in our heart. And it's an unmistakable call. We saw a video there of a young girl. I don't know how old she was, maybe 10 or 11. But you know that, I'm sure that Moses was 80 years old when he received this call that we read about in Exodus chapter 3. And I just want us to look at it. I want us to try to learn some lessons here that will help us understand the call of God in our own life. We're about to begin, or we'll soon begin, a new church year. We begin in October of each year. It's a little confusing because our Sunday school year, I think, goes now from September to the end of August. But generally speaking, we begin with the new workers in the 1st of October. So I want you to be praying about what God would have you to do in Alturas Baptist Church in this coming year, not just in Alturas Baptist Church, but what God would have you to do, period, as far as his call upon your life. I believe that each one of us have been issued a call. And so I want us to think this morning, and a call from God. And I want us to think this morning about that call. It doesn't always come like Moses' call here or like Paul's Damascus Road experience. But we can learn from Moses' call how to answer God's unmistakable call in our life. And I'm sure each of you, not perhaps all of you, but I'm sure each of you that have been called, you have just felt that conviction in your heart that God was calling you to serve Him. And maybe when you first answered that call, you weren't sure exactly what God wanted you to do. But as you have followed the Lord step by step, He has confirmed that call in your life, and you have answered the call to serve Him in some way, perhaps as a teacher. We had a great vacation Bible school this year. I think a little fewer than we had last year. But I think we had about 25 children enrolled, and we had almost as many adults that participated. And we had a youth worship team here every day. And it's just touching to me. And we had people who brought refreshments. And we had the Promise group that came here Tuesday night, and some of our ladies prepared meals, prepared dishes at really the last minute. And you're just one of the many unsung heroes, really. We just really appreciate you. And I know the Lord is keeping records. Sometimes we may forget to thank you for what you do, all of you. But you have answered God's call. So I want us to think more about what that means. We can learn from Moses' call how to answer God's unmistakable call to us. And I believe there are three lessons here that we can learn from in answering God's call. I want us to consider, first of all, the lesson of the man. The lesson of the man. Now, Moses just happened to be a man, of course, but I don't want you to think, well, you know, I'm not a man, so I'm going to just kind of tune that out because it doesn't really apply to me. It does apply to you. It doesn't matter whether you're a man, a woman, young person, a child even, like this little girl. I don't know how old she was, but 10 maybe. And Moses was 80. Now, most of us are somewhere in between, aren't we? And sometimes some of us may be closer to the 80 than the 10, and some the other way around. But God wants us to answer His call, as He did Moses. God had something very specific for Moses to do, didn't He? Excuse me. I have a microphone there. I'll have to remember that. Last week, I took the cordless, wireless, I guess they call it, into the baptistry there, and I think I drowned it. So I think it's a goner, unless, Dale, you think you might be able to resurrect it. You'll look at it. I appreciate that. But anyway, I'll try not to bump that. The man. Well, what do we know about the man? Well, first of all, Moses was a humbled man, wasn't he? Here we can just sense it here. Moses tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert. Now, the King James Version says the back side of the desert. Have you ever been on the back side of the desert? Pardon me? In Cedarville. I thought you were going to say we're already there. We're kind of already there, I would say. Most of us know what that means personally. If not, the surroundings may be different. But here was a man who came from the most powerful nation on earth. He was raised as an Egyptian. I'm sure you know that from, if nothing else, from the movie The Ten Commandments. Hopefully you know it better from the Bible, because they didn't always get it right. But he came from Egypt. He was groomed to be, I think, the next Pharaoh. He was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter, as I'm sure you all know. And so he came from this very, very elevated position in government. He came from riches. The Bible says that he esteemed the riches of Christ greater than the treasures of Egypt. And so he left Egypt to pursue, I suppose, God's leading. I'm not sure he knew where he was going. He just wanted to get out. And so he killed a man. I'm sure you all remember the story, how he killed a man out of anger because he was abusing one of his Israelite brothers. And he fled Egypt. Well, you'd think Moses is a goner. What can God do with a murderer, with a man who is a wanted man? I'm sure if they had post offices in those days and they had cameras. Now, they may have had post offices, but or similar. I'm sure they didn't have cameras, but they would have had a picture of Moses plastered on every post office wall. He was a wanted man. He was hunted. He was like a fugitive from the TV series, I think there was a movie made about the fugitive. Well, Moses was a man humbled. He came to the backside of the desert. No more Egyptian court with all of its pomp and all of its glory. And now he found himself listening to sheep, bleating. I'm sure it was humbling. And it says he led his flock to the far side of the desert. Well, you know, about that subject of humble, being humbled. Moses had experienced 40 years of humbling. 40 years in the backside of the desert. But he was being trained. He was being trained to be a shepherd of God's flock. And that training was invaluable. Now, he may not have thought that when he first arrived, and maybe after the first 39 and a half years, he may not have really known, why am I here? Why did you put me here? But he was about to find out, wasn't he? But he was humbled. The Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. But there was also a man here who was hearing. Now, most men, as people in general, have a dull hearing. Now, it seems like men are especially challenged because we're very selective sometimes. I'm told. I only go from hearsay about this, but and I don't always hear that. I think you all know how this dullness of hearing comes. I'm not talking about being impaired, but dullness of hearing. The Bible says, God says, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Now, I'm not sure when Moses was in Egypt, he heard God very much. I think maybe there's too much going on. And maybe too much ambition in his life. I would think it would be hard not to be ambitious in that situation. But now he had spent 40 years on the backside of the desert, and he was ready to listen to God. Now, I'm not sure it took 40 years. I'm not sure that all that 40 years Moses was away from God as far as being backslidden. But we know that at this point he heard the voice of God. It was a pivotal point in his life. And I believe that that point may well be this point in time to which we have come this morning. Maybe you have never really heard God speak to your heart as you have this morning. And God is speaking to you and calling you out to be one of his and to follow his plan for your life. His plan is far better than ours. Moses couldn't have planned it this way. It was all God, all of God's planning. So here was a man hearing. He finally came to the point where he actually heard God. And then here was a man holy. Holy not because of his life. Holiness really doesn't come from us, does it? Because we are all sinners. Even once we have come to Christ on Calvary, I was really touched by the Promise group the other night and how they sang about this, how our names are written in the wounds of Christ. How our names are written in those wounds, those precious wounds of Christ, because we are all sinners. And the longer we live, the more sin that God has to forgive, obviously. And here was a man who had 80 years of sin in his life, and yet God wasn't finished with him. Doesn't that tell us something about the grace of God? It doesn't matter how old you are or how young for that matter. If you will answer God's call, God will use you. Well, here is also a mountain. We can learn from the man, but we can also learn from the mountain. We must go to the mountain before we descend to the valley. God said to John the Revelator, as he's called, the Apostle John, really. But he wrote the book of Revelation. God dictated it or had him write these things down. But we're told that God said to him, come up here and I will show you things which must be hereafter. And Paul spoke of a time he was caught up to the third heaven. So there are examples of this in the Bible, other examples of this in the Bible. Jesus took Peter, James, and John up to the Mount of Transfiguration. Now we're kind of fortunate, blessed really, to have the mountains here. But I don't think you necessarily have to climb to the top of the highest mountain and to find God. But there are some lessons here about that mountain. He came to the mountain of God, it says, Mount Horeb. Now that's Sinai. Now there wasn't all the history of that at that time, of course. But he came to the mountain of God, it says. And there's significance in that. There's first of all, its elevation. God wants to lift us up. When he took Peter and James and John up on that mountain, it's because he wanted to show them, Jesus did, he wanted to show them his glory. To show them who he really was. And the Bible says he was transfigured before them. And they saw Jesus as they had never seen him before. They saw him as light. The Bible says God is light and dwells in light. And Jesus, of course, is the light of the world. He said, I am the light of the world. And so they saw Jesus as they'd never seen him before, and their lives were transformed by that experience, that mountaintop experience. Now, I think how it happens in our lives is that we realize God has spoken to us, and He is calling us upward. He is calling us on that upward way. As we walk, He wants us to come higher. Come up here, He said to John, and I will show you things to come. There's an elevation that God wants to do in our lives. There's a separation also in that mountain experience, separate from the world. I think sometimes we need to tune out other things so that we can tune in to God. And sometimes where we are and doing what we are accustomed to doing and hearing what we are accustomed to hearing, where our hearing becomes dull toward God. So God has to separate us, like Moses perhaps, even on the backside of the desert. And it may be sometimes an illness, not necessarily always, but sometimes that it might take that. Sometimes it might be that things that we have leaned on in this life, crutches, as it were, are knocked out from under us. And we are left to just kind of wonder, you know, what is God's purpose in all of this? And we're ready to listen to Him. But there has to be separation before we will listen to the voice of God. And there's also that in that mountain, it speaks of consecration. It's called here the mountain of God, isn't it? Because here is where He met with God. Now I think that could be in your room. And Jesus said, when you pray, enter into your closet. Now He didn't mean the closet like we have, that you know you'd have to have a shoehorn to get yourself in there. There's so much junk. But He means a room or a private place where we meet one-on-one with God. And so we can learn from that in Moses' experience. And I think we cannot have the experience that we had that Moses had of God's unmistakable call unless, first of all, we realize that we are the man. We are the person that God is speaking to. And He has brought us to His mountain so that He might lift us up, so that we might be separated from the things that would distract from His voice, and that we might be consecrated to Him. So there's a lesson of the man, the mountain. But also, there's a lesson in the meeting. Now, Moses met with God here, didn't he? It says he led the flock to the far side of the desert. Now, I'm not sure that he went there for that purpose. But it says an angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within the bush. Now, the angel of the Lord. Now, I believe that that was the pre-incarnate Christ. I think I could prove that. Maybe not totally. But I do believe that whenever you find the expression, the angel of the Lord, that is the pre-incarnate Christ. This is God. It is the visible appearance of God to the people of the Old Testament. So there is a meeting here with Jesus. Now, didn't Jesus say that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them? Now, there wasn't two or three, unless you count the sheep. But Moses met with God. Certainly, when we meet one-on-one with God, that's certainly scriptural. And Jesus talked about the prayer closet, where we meet one-on-one with God. But when we hear His voice, it'll be that meeting that we have with Him. There's a meeting here. It was an incendiary meeting. Here it says that the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flames of fire from within a bush. Now that's interesting because angel of the Lord often appeared in fire. Well, at least on one other occasion that I can think of, and maybe more. But do you remember when Moses or Daniel's three friends were thrown into the fiery furnace, and there was a fourth one like the Son of God, it says, walking in their midst? Well, I think it speaks of how God wants to burn away the dross of our lives, how He wants to fill us with His fire. Paul said to Timothy, rekindle the gift of God that is within you. There's an incendiary aspect to the Spirit of God as He comes upon us. It happened in Acts chapter 2 where we read that tongues of fire sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the Word of God with boldness. Whenever people are filled with the Holy Spirit, that's when the Word of God is proclaimed. So there's an incendiary aspect to that meeting. There's visionary. It goes on here and it describes how Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. And Moses thought, so I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. And then God began to speak to him and said, do not come any closer. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And then he told him what he was going to do through him. Out of that meeting, there came a vision to Moses' life of what God wanted him to do. Now, if you'll read on there, you'll find that Moses wasn't too happy about it to start with. And in fact, he had some excuses ready to give God. He wasn't like he was 40 years ago, where he was going to go out and just do it himself without God. But now he had all kinds of excuses why he would not. Why he would not go. But God went on and described here, and we don't have time to read the whole passage there, but I want to encourage you to read it. And find out what God is saying to you, what he wants you to do. He wants to give you a vision of what he wants you to do in your life. And that meeting was also missionary. Because God told Moses that he would send him back to Egypt. He said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have, and perhaps Moses had been praying. I'm sure he was concerned about his people in Egypt. But God says, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I'm come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land, out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. And that's when Moses began to give excuses. But it was a missionary call. And in the end, of course, he went. We know that. But it was because he had heard the missionary call to go. There's a verse in the New Testament. I'm sure most of you are familiar with it. And it's found in Matthew 28, verses 18 and 19. And I'd like to ask you to say it with me. And probably the King James Version is the one we're most familiar with. But there Jesus said, go ye therefore. You can say it with me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. That's his call. May we hear it. And may we go. Because God's call should be unmistakable. And if we will do like Moses, and I know we'll have maybe some thoughts like, you know, I'm unworthy. But we are unworthy. But the devil wants to accuse us. He wants to throw our background back to us, or what we've done. I'm sure Moses could have thought, well, you know, there are a million people in this world that are more worthy, more capable, more equipped to do what you're calling me to do. But if you will answer that call, you'll find that God is sufficient.